Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Wednesday, June 24th, 2026. Hope you're all doing well on this finally nice and sunny morning here. It's been a gloomy couple of days, but Jazz Chisholm Jr., watch that all away, chat. How are we doing? The Morning Yankee Show, we are live, of course, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Quick programming note, reminder, don't think we're going to be able to have a watch party tonight, unfortunately. We'll be back with those for the series opener against Boston. We're doing baseball today's episode for Thursday morning, late tonight, so I got to prep that during the game. So I'm not going to be able to be live tonight, but hey, we're here right now, and we got so much to discuss, and it's going to be heavily focused on Jazz Chisholm Jr. We'll get into all of that. We're also, afterwards, once we break down everything from last night's game, we're going to get into the Yankees signing a top pitching prospect out of Taiwan, just their third signing ever in third Taiwanese signing ever, and he would become, if he ends up making the big leagues, he's just 18, the second pitcher from Taiwan, second player from Taiwan since just Ching Ming Wang, 2006, 2009. I didn't really get to watch him all that much, but he was a dog at certain points. Anyways, he's the only Taiwan player we've ever had reach the big leagues. Maybe we'll have another. We'll touch more on that a little bit later, but yeah, click like in the stream if you do not mind. And with that said, I think we're all good to go. Let's get into last night, because one could say Jazz Chisholm Jr. silenced the critics with his big two-run go-ahead shot. Let's hear the home run. We'll hear from Boone. We're going to hear from Jazz, because this all kind of came to a head with a very happy ending last night in Detroit.
And here is Jazz Chisholm Jr. High fly ball, right field and deep. Malgeri back on the track at the wall. See ya! A home run for Jazz Chisholm Jr. And the Yankees take a 3-2 lead.
Second hit on the night, and Aaron said, we need more, and he just got a little more.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the lollipop kid came through tonight in a big way, so that was good. He can have all the lollipops he wants now, so we're good.
Aaron, obviously the production important, but do you just feel like the spotlight seems to find him? He loves the spotlight, but it also seems like he's always in the middle of things.
All of that, yes. Yes.
Did you notice that he shook the double bubble jar after he hit the homer? He took it and showed it to the camera and shook it?
I did not. But you know what? If that becomes a little bit of a thing, as long as he doesn't take it out to second base with him, we're good.
4-3 is your final. We're going to touch on some other stuff from the game as well, and we'll hear from Jazz in just a moment. Go ahead, two-run shot. Now, let me be completely clear, which I think by now you guys know what my stance was. The lollipop was a bad look, and that shouldn't happen, and that's why you won't see it happening again. Although I will say, on Yankees Twitter yesterday, it was just blown way out of proportion. Even past Yankees Twitter, it got to the point where people were taking it to where this is why our season is over, and the Yankees will never win, and we're all going to die, and everything to do with the doom and gloom that we hate so much on this channel, we criticize things that are necessary to criticize. And I do think Jazz going at second base was a bad look. Now, I know there's a lot of people that disagree with that, and that's all well and good. That's fine. But it got taken to an extra level yesterday. Like, this is not front page news. And ultimately, I almost came to the side of not, I don't want to say defending Jazz. I don't want to come off here as fake whatsoever. The lollipop thing was a bad look. That was ridiculous, in my opinion. But the level it was taken to, it was getting so frustrating, because it's like, yo, I just want to get back to watching baseball. And come first pitch in yesterday's game, you know, we're in the watch party. We'd never been more locked in, I think, during a watch party than we were last night, because I strictly just wanted to watch baseball. And to the point that this got to yesterday with the lollipop thing, it was absurd. I mean, you had, I understand the sports talk radio. Talking about it is one thing, which we really didn't do too much of that yesterday to begin with. But, you know, Boone goes on talking Yanks, said that it pissed him off and it's not going to be happening again, which I think is totally fine. I think Boone handled himself very reasonably yesterday on Talking Yanks. I actually think within the Yankees, isolated to within just them, this transpired perfectly. Jazz should not have had a lollipop out there at second base. And again, we'll hear from Jazz in just a moment. Boone said that. Boone said that's not going to happen anymore. So Jazz didn't have a lollipop out at second base yesterday. He has a great game. Yanks end up winning, and in the end, at least confined within the Yankees, there's a problem. Not a major problem, but a problem. It was addressed, respected. They won a game. And now everybody's happy, including myself, because that was a big win last night. 4-3 is your final. Rays lost. They got smoked by the Royals, by the way. blown out. The Blue Jays, who just got back to 500, now are below 500. They blew a lead in the ninth. They lost to Houston. Yankees enter play today with a three-game lead over the Rays for first place in the American League East, and the Blue Jays are back to a game under 500. But in terms of just the baseball, that's what I wanted to get back to, because it got to a level where, man, it's so simple how this should be handled. And it's the way the Yankees handled it. It's they don't want Jazz sucking on a lollipop out at second base. So Boone talked to him about it. It's not going to happen anymore. Done. And Jazz respected that. There you go. Now, as for Jazz, let's hear from him, and then we'll talk about it more from an individual perspective, because we say a lot. Now, the lows with Jazz can be pretty low. The highs are also extremely high. Last night, perfect example of why it's so easy to kind of like fall in love with Jazz Chisholm Jr., not just to play on the field, but also when things are going well for Jazz, he's a great post-game interview. He's very likable, and he was last night. I think he handled this perfectly.
Aaron Boone said you could have all the lollipops you want now.
Ah, that's funny. He didn't say that yesterday. No, I'm joking.
I got one right here.
Yeah?
Green apple.
You can eat it now. You can have it now, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm about to crush that.
You couldn't resist holding up the double bubble.
No, I couldn't resist it. My teammates were egging me on. That's what it was. My teammates were screaming, yeah, get him a lollipop. And, it was just fun. We just had a lot of fun.
When you were not there last night with that, did you forget that you had it in your mouth, or did you, like...
So the reason why it took so long is because I was trying to bite through it, but my teeth was not letting me get through it. It was like a brand new lollipop, so I was trying to bite. And like, by the time I got to the spot to bite it all off, I was already on TV. So.
Do you feel like it was a bad look at all, or it was just a safety
card? I don't think it's a bad look. I mean, I'm playing a game, a kid's game, having fun. So I don't think it's a bad look. I just feel like safety issues.
You take it to heart when Boone says, I feel Jazz can be one of the better players in the game. And
I expect more from myself. To my expectations, I'm not playing great at all.
Are you feeling any pressure of free agency on the horizon?
Not even. I haven't even thought about it since probably I got out of that slump in like April. Yeah, like around then. I haven't really thought about free agency. I'm just trying to go win a championship.
10 out of 10, perfect final response. And that entire post-game interview, I think from Boone, kind of like laughing it off, tongue-in-cheek, and in the end, very similar stance to where I feel. Whether you were a hardcore criticizer of Jazz or even just, yo, shouldn't do the lollipop thing, it's all good, but like whatever. The Yankees won, and Jazz was a big part of why they won. And that final line at the end was perfect. I think that is one of the best post-game interviews Jazz has had as a Yankee. Now, with that said, he's had a lot of good post-game interviews when he's going well. I want to talk very fairly about Jazz here. And first things first, for at least the remainder of this week, we will not be talking Luis Arraez. At least for 24 hours. He gets a little bit of leeway. Because let's be honest, Jazz has not had a good season. Jazz has been terrible with runners in scoring position. With that said, he's capable of doing things like last night. There's times where he'll come through, and seemingly often when there's a lot of criticism surrounding him, some justified, some not, he'll come through in a big moment. Where he'll come through when all eyes are on him. And I respect that. It also, a game like last night, frustrates me even a little bit more with Jazz because he can be so great. And I think there's a ceiling that has not even yet to be close to being reached with him. And that's well beyond a 30-30 season. That's well beyond last year being one of the best second basemen in baseball, which he truly is. Jazz talked 50-50 in the beginning of the year. Now, I'm not saying that's what the ceiling truly is. That was a relatively ridiculous comment. More so, my frustration with the early preseason comments was the financials end of things. Him saying he wanted like $300 million. That was absurd. But nonetheless, Jazz is not a bad player. Jazz, for the most part, emphasis on for the most part, is a good player. I would love if not everything that comes along with Jazz, but a lot of the, I don't want to say theatrics or... There's part of Jazz's game that is integral to his game, and that's why he is who he is and why he is as good as he is. There's an unlocked potential with him that I wonder, I don't know, but I wonder if he just locked it in a little bit more, I wonder about the ceiling that he could reach. And that's where we enter 40-40. That's where we enter, forget even numbers, forget anything of that. He'll put up numbers. But there are times, and if you deny this, I feel like I don't know if Jazz shills exist, but I think they kind of do. People act like Jazz sometimes is perfect. Now, some people act like he's the worst player of all time. That's ridiculous as well, even more ridiculous than the formerly mentioned. There are mental mistakes sometimes that you see. There are times where it seems like his head's not in the game. And like the lollipop thing, for example, the other day, which if you say that's not a big deal, word up. Not a big deal. But it wasn't a good look. Those same people defending Jazz, imagine if Volpe did that. And I think that would be totally fair criticism towards him. Now, if Judge did that, I would be besides myself and shocked. Well, like if Bellinger did that, I'd be completely stunned. But at least it would be justified with the seasons that they put up, the season, well, Judge is hurt, but Bellinger that he's having. There are things with Jazz that do stand out when the runners in scoring position stats, not just this year, where he's sitting below 200 with runners in scoring position. Last year, in a really good year, hit just 208. There's so much good about Jazz that the bad somehow stands out even more, and the things that I don't love about him frustrate me even to a higher degree because of the fact of I think he could be so much better. So it's a weird thing of a game like last night, which was awesome. We were doing nothing but celebrating this. That was badass. And in the very least, it was box office. He showed up when all eyes were on him. And not to mention, apparently in Detroit, there were fans saying to him when he got into an 0-2 count, like, where's your lollipop, all this and that. So that's one thing. But that's normal. That's opposing fan base. Our fan base was on him. And I think to a degree, rightfully so. Although it got to a level that was a little bit absurd. Very absurd. And it went beyond the lollipop thing. It was just like people were waiting in the shadows to like snatch onto something to freak out about this 2026 Yankees team, whether it be the lollipop thing or a few losses in a row. There's a lot of reactions yesterday that were ridiculous. But if you're someone that's listening to this that is relatively reasonable, which if you think Jazz was within his rights to have a lollipop in, you're also reasonable. You have your opinion, that's fine, as long as you handle it like a normal person. I do think it was a bad look. But if you were level ahead with that, it's like, Jazz, you shouldn't do that. That's that. You move on. I'm talking with, that's who we're talking with right now. I think if we're going to be reasonable and honest, we know Jazz can be a lot better than he is. Last night being an example of that. We see it countless times. I think, you know, people say Jazz can be the best second baseman in baseball. I completely agree. I was talking to my boy Nelson last night, and he had a take, which I don't think is absurd. I know where he's coming from, but I would phrase it differently. He says, Jazz, I'm not sure there's many more second basemen out there that are better than him, which he's not necessarily wrong. But the way I would phrase it more so is, I don't think there's many, if any at all, second basemen out there that are more talented than Jazz. Jazz can be an incredible baseball player. Jazz could be a 6-war second baseman. But right now, it feels almost like his ceiling is a 4-war, which is terrific. That's terrific. And even this year so far, in a down year where the OPS is in the low 700s, and while the defensive metrics don't like him, I love Jazz defensively at second base, talent-wise, skill-wise. But the talent gets you to that 4-war. The talent gets you to 30-30. If he just locked it in a little bit, and maybe this could lead to him going on a run, possibly. I wonder if yesterday is Jazz being like, all right, screw everyone, I'm doubling down, or is it, I don't know what the conversation was like with him and Boone. Maybe this leads to him locking in a little bit, or maybe it leads to him embracing exactly who he is and not shying away from it in the slightest, and that's going to lead to success. Ultimately, that's all I want. All I care about is the Yankees winning. But if you've been watching Jazz day in and day out, and you're a reasonable person, there is no denying he's done a lot for this team. There's no denying how good he is and how great he can be. But you know there's an extra layer that he has not achieved, a ceiling that is yet to be reached, that to me, and I could be wrong on this, but this is the way I see it, a ceiling that could be reached via him just locking in a little bit more. There's frustration that I have watching him play every single day and knowing how great he can be, and there's times he displays that greatness, but also mental mistakes. He'll make the most insane play you'll ever see at second base. He looks terrific. I mean, I always think back, prime example of that Boston series last year, the wild card series, where he made that diving stop and prevented the go-ahead run from scoring. It's like, Jazz, you are so dynamic. And there's nothing more to take from that play other than that. That was a huge play. Thank you so much for making that play. Fastest guy on the team, steals bases all the time. He's already over 20 stolen bases. For a bad year, it's really not an atrocious year. I mean, he's still around, slash above a league average hitter. Stolen bases are up there. And again, defensively, I trust him at second base. But it's more so with Jazz, I trust the skill set. I trust the talent. Sometimes it feels like he very much can get into his own world a little bit. And like the lollipop, I feel like was, I don't know, like the like almost like, I don't know, like the poster version of what sometimes the issues with Jazz can be, which feels like it can be a little bit mental. But a line like last night, a game like last night, but that post game where he finished saying, all I'm worried about is a championship, I want more of that. Both truly and also him just to speak that way. Something I don't like about, not necessarily about Jazz, a lot of players these days, which is why somebody like, I don't know, you'll see a rare player like Cam will be like this, Caballero will be like this. Like the true rare killer these days in professional sports in general, it's refreshing when a player isn't all about like superstardom and being, you know, flashy and all this and that, which has its place. But Jazz very quickly, I felt like kind of acted like he's a superstar. And he could be. He could be beyond a superstar. He can be great. He's good. He can be great. He can be elite. He can be the best. And it feels like you see in front of your very eyes sometimes the reason why he's not, which is mentally, at times, it just feels like he's a little bit in his own world during certain moments. Not all the time. But that's kind of where I stand with Jazz. It's like, last night's game was freaking awesome. That is, there's nothing else to say about it. That was fantastic, and I appreciate it. And if I do fall on the side of being critical towards Jazz yesterday, which I certainly do, 100%. As the day went on, though, it lowered for me because people are just being ridiculous about it. But was I critical of Jazz yesterday? Yes. So with that said, that he kind of like silenced me yesterday, word up. Did so by helping the Yankees win a game. Cool with me. And I appreciate that. There's also just another layer, another ceiling, higher ceiling, way higher ceiling that can be unlocked if he just were to lock in a little bit. That's how I feel. Doesn't mean I'm right. And maybe the way he can achieve that ceiling is by him fully embracing the way he likes to roll. But the things, for example, that bug me a little bit will be like when he doesn't play against Boston last year, which well within his rights to be upset about that. That's one thing. But then he turns his back in the media and then Judge has to handle it. Or the lollipop thing. Then it becomes a saga. Boone has to handle it. Or, you know, that post-game interview in Tampa Bay, which maybe he truly didn't know how the game of baseball works, but the way he said it, the way he presented it to the media made it seem like it's just whatever, I don't care. But he doesn't act like that all the time. Jazz acts one way, will act another way, and a lot of times it's based off how he's feeling, success, not success, being in the lineup, not being in the lineup. Yeah, that's kind of where I stand with Jazz. It's like, I know he's good. And those who say he's just terrible, that's absurd. But also acting like he's perfect, I think, is a little bit absurd as well. And last night's even more of an example of that because that shows how great he can be. Not just because of the go-ahead home run. He had an earlier play, which was when he was on first. He gets on. It was a leadoff single. Shout out Spencer Jones. Hit and run. Jazz goes to third. Jazz ends up scoring our only run. Like the dynamic speed that he has, the athleticism, like that is all great. But that's there. That's why Jazz is on the team to begin with. That's what makes him one of the better slash best second basemen in baseball. He can be the best, though. And that's where I kind of go with Jazz. Like, I love you, but you also frustrate me a lot. And that's, again, highs are very high, like last night. The lows can also be pretty low. And almost rather like a middle ground between the two. It's like when he's going well, it is superstardom. When he's going poorly, though, it's frustrating. So I want a little bit of like the middle ground, you know, like a little more, would it be level-headedness? I know I'm not the perfect person to talk about that. But I love Jazz. And again, for at least the remainder of this week, at least another 24 hours. But I think we ain't going to be talking Luis Arraez tomorrow or Friday. We'll see where we're at come Monday. And by the way, you know, the Instagram algorithm plays a certain role into the way when people see certain things. I was not talking about getting Luis Arraez after the lollipop thing. That clip was posted on Friday. Everything we discuss here is purely about the Yankees. That's all I care about. Performance on the field. So every day I almost discuss an upgrade that could be possibly looked at. And if Jazz doesn't perform, I will look at second base upgrades. Now, I'm not Brian Cashman, so what difference does it make? But I wasn't talking about Luis Arraez on Friday because of the lollipop incident didn't happen until Tuesday. With that said, I think I made my point clear. Great game by Jazz yesterday. He helped us win. It was box office and the showing off the lollipop and the whole thing. Everything about that was perfect. The Yankees had an issue. They handled it. Jazz respected it. That's that. Had a great game, and everybody in the post-game was very happy. Great post-game interview by Boone. Great post-game interview by Jazz. They were playing a lollipop by Lil Wayne in the clubhouse afterwards. I think, confined within the Yankees world, This was handled perfectly on Boone's end, on Jazz's end, the Yankees as a whole, and mainly because they won the damn game. Yankees Twitter, on the other hand, is another story. But I don't even know if that's a Jazz thing. Like, a few losses in a row, people just lose their marbles, yo. It's nuts. Thank goodness for yesterday's win. Now, we got Scooble tonight. We'll see how that goes. Ryan Weathers, maybe you can trade some zeros with him. We'll see. And it is baseball, after all. That's kind of all we got to go off of going into tonight's game. But, yes, yeah, Scooble versus Weathers tonight. That'll put a bow in the whole Jazz thing. He's good. He's not bad. He could be a lot better, though, because he has all the talent in the world. This is the way I see it. Let me know how you feel in the comment section below. I know there's going to be a lot of disagreement here. It's kind of like a polarizing topic. Do so, forget even, like, respectfully, because that's just, you know, I'm not trying to dodge any criticism here towards my take. But, like, if you're going to talk ball, talk ball. Don't just be like, I mean, there's some people that take it to a certain extent, which is so absurd, and be like, oh, you don't like Jazz for this reason. I assure you, that is not the case. All I care about is baseball, truly, almost to a fault. I want one thing, and that is the Yankees to win. Simple as that. So I assure you, there's none of that going on here with, now some people, maybe there are, there is. But on my end, like, don't even mention any of that crap. Because I don't want nothing to do with it. I want baseball. Baseball, baseball, baseball. And I want Yankees wins, which Jazz helped them do last night. Some other things from last night's game, though, I do want to mention really quick. So, you know, let's hear from Cody Bellinger really quick. Great throw home last night. He had a funny post-game interview. There actually is a little bit of the Jazz thing. We're not going to continue to talk about it, but Bellinger's just hilarious in his post-games. But this is a big throw. I'm surprised they sent Green here, but I guess they were just looking to, you know, they're already in front, I believe at the time, or what was it? Yeah, we were down, it was 2-1 at the time. Here's Bellinger's throw last night. This was huge. It was a great throw.
Lined into left field, it's a base hit. Riley Green rounds third. Coming up throwing is Bellinger. Here's the throw. Here's the play at the plate. He's out. Cody Bellinger threw a strike to Wells, who applied the tag on Green to end the inning.
Well, you see him charge this ball hard. He makes a really accurate throw, a one hop, easy for Austin Wells to catch and put the tag on Riley Green. Great play.
Try to set my feet. Wellesy did a good job of getting the ball and obviously making the quick tag.
What was your reaction when you saw he was out there with a lollipop last night?
I honestly didn't even see it until today. So those are good lollipops. You know, I think it's the apple caramel one. So it's a good lollipop.
Tempted to have one in the field?
I'll stick to the dugout. But.
Again, I love this team. Bellinger's a big part as to why. That was a big throw. Now, as for Rodon really quick, some other notes just to run through some things. Rodon, command wasn't great yesterday. The fastball, especially towards the end of the game, command with the fastball, there were times where he was painting. And towards the end of the game, his velo started to get up there at 96, 97. The slider looked terrific yesterday. Now, command has been an issue early on with him. Not a good start for Rodon. And we know he's never really as great on the road as he is at home. People talk about the idea of, you know, Rodon shouldn't start in the playoffs. I completely disagree with that. Now, I know I'm more of a Rodon guy than most, and I always mention how since the start of last year, he's been one of the best pitchers in the American League. Last night, not a great start. But think about this. It almost seems like we complain about Rodon, by we, I mean the fan base, about Rodon every outing, last night being one of them. There was a lot of discourse about how bad Rodon is. Bad Rodon, who is still, you know, on his way back, I don't want to say on his way back from injury, but listen, the command should get better the more and more starts that he makes. He went 5 1/3, 6 hits, 3 earned runs yesterday. He got the win. Rodon wasn't terrible yesterday. And with him, he can be a lot better. He will be a lot better, especially as the season goes on. The wild pitch was tough. And again, the command was frustrating at times. A couple walks of Green that he had that were nowhere close. And, you know, there's definitely some things, no matter what, in the process of Rodon starts. It seems like even when he's going well, that frustrate you. Rodon got the win yesterday. He went 5 1/3 innings. And with that said, like, assuming the command does improve, which remains to be seen. You know, we're live every single day, so we'll talk about it all the time. But Rodon, for what was not a good start yesterday, it was still 5 1/3, 3 runs, and he got the win. So I do think even a start like last night goes with not a tally on my end where I am pro-Rodon, but I don't think it's a tally on the anti-Rodon, Rodon sucks argument either. It's like, if anything, hey, for a start that wasn't good, he kept us in the game, and he ended up winning the game. So some respect towards Rodon there. He does have to pitch better, and I anticipate that he will. If he doesn't, we will discuss it fairly. Trust me, 100% on that. The bullpen was fantastic yesterday. Cruz, big outs. Brent Hedrick remains. Somebody DM'd me this morning. I didn't get back to him, but if you're listening to the show, here's your response. He asked about, Brent Hedrick should be an all-star, right? I'm like, I haven't really thought about it. But yeah, Ward, he should be. Brent Hedrick has been terrific. ERA now is right around a 1.6. And we know how great he's been with inherited runners. He's pitched a lot. And there was some discourse, and understandably so, because he was looking good and his bullpen was thin, about going to Bednar, which Bednar continues to be great. More on him in a second. But Hedrick, they should have maybe kept him in. That was a thought at the time. And part of my reasoning as to why I totally understood them taking him out and going to Bednar for the four-out save was, well, one, I think it was Riley Green, the ball he hit, whoever it was that hit the ball to center field, that ball was hit pretty hard. But also, they've used Hedrick so much, so they don't want to push him even further than they already have, because that's a legitimate concern and even more reason to want to upgrade the bullpen. There's a good chance at some point Brent Hedrick could be taxed, because they've used him a lot, but he's great. And yeah, he probably should be an all-star. Now, that, I believe, is selected by, obviously not fan voting, that is selected by the manager of the teams, I think. So it would be John Schneider, the Blue Jays. I think that's how that works, if I'm not mistaken. I believe the manager of each all-star team, the AL and NL, so like Dave Roberts for the NL, John Schneider for the AL, I believe they picked the pitchers, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong. Brent Hedrick should be an all-star. He's been great. He was great again yesterday. Bednar, yo, four-out save. Since the Mets loss, since that loss in Queens, obviously, which is brutal. That was terrible. We know that. He has been nails. Last night looked great, did his job, but also just the stuff. Everything about him looked. The velo's back up, by the way, which for a lot of pitchers early in the season, your velo is going to be down. That's nothing new. People were kind of concerned about that with Bednar, and I understand that, I guess. His velo is back. He was hitting like 96, 97 yesterday. Curveball looked great. Everything looked terrific from Bednar yesterday. And yeah, since the Mets lost, one earned run in 13 innings pitched, 15th save of the year yesterday. Closer's not an issue. It's just not. And I haven't really been worried about Bednar. I've been frustrated with Bednar. But it's like the lows have been bad. The blow-up that he had in Queens was bad. He had a rough loss, you know, when we were in extra innings in Tampa Bay in April. But other than that, like, especially since the Mets, he has been nails. And the Yankees do not need a closer. Now, with that said, like, listen, if there's a deal you could swing for Mason Miller, go get Mason Miller. If there's a closer that's better than Bednar, or just, you want to get arms in here, period. I don't really care who's pitching the ninth. All I know is David Bednar, whenever he's pitching, if right now it's the closer role, and rightfully so, he's been great. Totally cool with it. Because Bednar's, he's been locking in. And the Yankee bullpen, as of late, really since Judge has gone down, has been awesome. Cruz, Hedrick, Bednar, like, they are staples in this bullpen. We need depth, though. We need more than that. We need options, especially because some of these guys are going to get burnt out. And also, there's going to be times where Bednar is struggling like any other closer. Same with Brent Hedrick or Fernando Cruz. Cruz was great yesterday, too. By the way, didn't pitch yesterday, but Paul Blackburn, for what his role is, he's done his job. Now, he should not be pitching as high leverage innings that he's been. We know that. But I would say, like, he's not the next Luke Weaver, I don't think, like the Yankees kind of, like, hoped that he would be. But Blackburn has consistently done his job. Like, what was it, Monday night, we did lose that game. But at the time, you know, two-run deficit, Blackburn kept us in the game. And more often than not, that's exactly what he's done. His ERA's in the twos. So the bullpen's been great lately. Last night was no exception. They were awesome. Some other quick notes. This Jason Dominguez catch, by the way, I thought this was kind of hilarious. So even Kay's call on it and the fact that the Tigers challenged, I think everybody was kind of in the mindset, like, all right, we think he may have trapped it, but, like, it's Jason Dominguez. There's no way he caught that ball, so we're just going to challenge it. Like, even Kay, I think the way Kay was calling it, people were, like, not very enthusiastic about Kay. I doubt Kay thought that Jason legitimately made that catch, but he did. Shoe string grab. It looked like a trap, but he trapped it within the glove. Call is confirmed. He makes a catch, and with that, turns into a double play by firing to first base. That was huge, of course, so good job by Jason there. Some other notes. We mentioned the Jones single. That was big. Got Jazz at third, who eventually scored our first run. On a hit-and-run play. Volpe, 2-for-4. Another two hits last night. Had a stolen base. He did get thrown out at second base as well, but also that was just a perfect throw. That was the only chance Volpe was getting thrown out there, was a perfect throw, and Dylan Dingler made. It was just a complete laser. Perfectly accurate, and it was a terrific throw. But Volpe continues to hit, man, and that's something to monitor. Now, tonight against Skubal, Volpe will be in there as well. Wasn't supposed to play yesterday, but McMahon has an ear slash a throat infection. I hope he's all good, but tonight he's not going to be playing against Skubal anyways. Volpe will be in at short. And now tonight, defensively, might be concerned because you probably will see Caballero in the outfield, which I, just defensively, I want Jones in there every day. And Jones got some good beats in the ball yesterday. Like, he's just a good defensive center fielder, and it puts Bellinger in left, which makes us a better team as well. But yeah, in all likelihood, you'll see Volpe at short, Rosario at third, Bellinger in center, Caballero in left, I would imagine. Maybe Max Schumann in left. Now, Caballero got a little banged up with some foul balls off his lower half yesterday. Maybe he gets a day off. I think I'd rather have Schumann in the outfield than Caballero. I like Caballero's bat in there, but I also trust Schumann as well. I mean, Scooble's going to be tough tonight. We know that. But nonetheless, that was a big win for the Yankees yesterday. 4-3 your final. Nail-biter. It was box office. It felt like playoffs in June. And it was just a good baseball game. And, of course, the story is Jazz Chisholm Jr. Go ahead, two-run shot. And one could absolutely say, at least for now, but yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm a critic. Did Jazz just silence me? At least for the next 48 hours. We won't talk Luis Arraez until Monday. So yes, for the time being, yes. With that said, am I telling you guys that Volpe's the shortstop because he's hitting 360 over his last 3 weeks? No. One good game, one good stretch. Now, Jazz is obviously a different story. Like, he had a great year last year. Volpe, there's much more bad history. It's something to do with personal thing against Jazz. But when I talk about Luis Arraez, it's just, I'm looking at everything. You guys know I like Carlos Rodon a lot. I'm like the biggest Carlos Rodon fan probably in the fan base, to be honest. I think about trades every single day that would have him pitch another bullpen in October. Like, when I'm talking to Eric Scooble, is that anything against Rodon? No. But if there's a way to make this team better, I'm going to talk about it. But we're not going to do that with Jazz. Because also, too, maybe he's about to go on a run. And the good of Jazz, when he's going well, there's not many second basemen that are better. And if he could achieve that ceiling that we talked about before, there's not going to be anybody better. He'll be one of the best players in the league. Anyways, good win last night. We got to move on to the pitcher from Taiwan. We'll get to that in just a second. Want to shout out our brand new t-shirts that just dropped. We'll be back in about 25 seconds after this break. Yo, what's up, guys? Quick break here to let you know that the brand new 4th of July Aaron Judge t-shirts are now available, and you can use code YANKSAV15 to get 15% off your entire order. It's for a limited time only. As you see, amazing design. But yeah, YANKSAV15, get 15% off your order. Link in description. Code YANKSAV15, 15% off your entire order. It's for a limited time, and yeah, those Judge shirts are available. Your entire order, you get 15% off. Link in description for that. And, of course, they're John Boy products. You can get one of these shirts as well. You can't really see the back, but it's sick. They get a bunch of cool stuff. A lot of it designed by the Clo Dog, too. And Trish and Sarah. Anyways, let's move on to the news from yesterday, which some were asking in the watch party, like, Dan, did you hear about the Taiwan pitcher? And I'm like, I heard about it, but, like, I can't even speak on it until I do a deep dive and get as much information as I can. We'll talk about it on the morning show. Well, here we are. And with that, we welcome Chin Phan Lai. I believe that's how you say it. I found like one video on somebody else saying his name, and that's how they said it. Apologies if I'm saying it wrong. But Chin Phan Lai. Chin Phan Lai. Again, I'm not trying to be a punk. I hope I'm getting that name pronunciation right. Premier pitching prospect out of Taiwan. Yankees officially announced a signing yesterday. $850,000 signing bonus, 18 years old, and he is one of the top prospects in Taiwan. Now, he's a third player in Yankee franchise history to be signed out of Taiwan, and if he were to make the big leagues, he would be the second Taiwan player ever. First since Ching Ming Wong, who of course had a lot of success with the Yankees. But some quick notes on him. Right-handed pitcher, 18 years old. He has a fastball that currently sits, remember, he's 18. Fastball clocks at 95 miles an hour. He sits more so around 91 to 94. His curveball apparently projects to eventually be a pretty damn good secondary pitch. So he's very much fastball that they like, curveball that they like. He's got a slider. He's got a changeup that I hear the changeup is not great. Again, he's 18 years old. This is all about development here, but the Yankees clearly saw something in this kid, and he's one of the top pitching prospects in Taiwan. And he's got a nice little arsenal. Yeah, fastball, curveball, slider, changeup, mainly focus on the fastball and the curveball. And 18 years old, there's some video on him. It's just cool. I mean, listen, the Yankees often will not have a large international signing pool bonus allotment to spend because, you know, when you're signing big players, you'll, just like when you lose draft picks, you also lose some international signing bonus money. And we know about a lot of turnover we had with the head of an international scouting department. Now we have Mario Garza in, who just took over this past offseason. So this is one of his first like big international signings, and we won't know the payoff until, you know, years down the road. This kid's just 18 years old, but he's very highly touted and like very highly coveted and discussed as one of the top prospects in general out of Taiwan. And we'll see what he's all about. You know, I'll probably be maybe 30 years old by the next time we talk about him. But Chin Phan Lai. That's how you say his name. 18 years old, right-hander, top pitching prospect, one of the top pitching prospects out of Taiwan. And as we mentioned, I want to play a little bit of a video here, a throwback to course, Chingming Wong, which I was not able to watch, but he did have some really good season with the Yankees. Obviously, you know, ends up getting hurt, rounding the bases in the National League. But Chingming Wong, back-to-back 19-win seasons. If Chin Fan Lai were to make the Yankees at some point, which is years from now, he would be the first Yankee pitcher since Chingming Wong out of Taiwan. And again, Wong was pretty damn good. Here's a throwback to that. Many of you that did watch his Yankee tenure, I didn't start watching until 2011. So at that point, I think he was still within the organization, actually. But again, after the injury, kind of just fell off for him. But he had a run.
The 1-1. This'll do it. Ground ball to Cairo. Gobbles it up to Phillips. And the Yankees win 6-0 and a complete game two-hit shutout for Chingming Wong.
My closest, like, recollection of Chingming Wong, besides just knowing the name, this is probably how I knew it, was I would always pitch with him in, on MLB 2K9. But yeah, he had some good run with the Yankees. And again, if Chin Fin Lai were to make the team, he'd be the second Yankee player ever out of Taiwan. So welcome to the Yankees, Chin Fin Lai. Chin Fan Lai. Apologize if I'm saying your name wrong, brother. But it's good to have you. Look forward to your career. We'll be watching your career with great interest. Star Wars Episode 1. Phantom Menace, 1999. Blu-ray DVD. All right, Chad, that's going to do it for this episode. Hope you all have a great Wednesday. Again, unless barring surprises, we're not going to be able to be live tonight for the watch party against the Tigers. So fingers crossed we can do something against Skubal. And the main story for me is not so much that, because you figure Skubal's just going to shut us down for the most part. Ryan Weathers, what do you got? I need you to trade some zeros. He had a good-ass start against the White Sox at the stadium. Let's see what he can do against Detroit tonight. Yeah, maybe find our way into making it a bullpen game by the time Skubal's out. We'll see. He is coming back from injury still. I think this is his second start back from that like little quick arm surgery thing he had. So maybe he's not all the way built back up. You'd figure he wouldn't be. So maybe we can get him out relatively early. Let's try to work some good at-bats. Maybe click him for a homer, whatever it may be. You figure not going to do much against Tarik Skubal. But Ryan Weathers, try and trade some zeros, brother. I got a lot of faith in you. And then we'll see what happens. But yes, no watch party tonight because we're doing baseball today for Thursday morning's episode late tonight. So probably not going to have a watch party. But anyways, that's going to do it for this episode, Chad. Reminder, use code YANKSAV15 to get 15% off your entire order on the Judge USA shirts. Link in description. That also applies to everything else on the site as well. That's going to do it for this episode, Chad. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you, I guess technically tomorrow morning, for another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. Until then, let's go Yanks.